In our first reading from Luke's Gospel, Jesus teaches a demanding lesson about mercy and forgiveness, but offers a promise too. Reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 36 through 38, listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." So ends the reading. In our second reading, we continue our reading of the book of Ruth with chapter 2, in which we see the two widows, Ruth and Naomi, take some initiative to better themselves and find comfort and hope. Listen again for God's word.
"Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz.
And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, behind someone in whose sight I may find favor.'
Naomi said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So Ruth went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech.
Just then, Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' They answered, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'To whom does this young woman belong?'
The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers." So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment.'
Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.'
Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?'
But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge.'
Then she said, 'May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants.'
At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles, and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her.
So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was only an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into the town. And her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over after she herself had been satisfied.
Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you."
So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz."
Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "This man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin."
Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay close by my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'"
Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women. Otherwise, you might be bothered in another field." So Ruth stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. And thank you to our wonderful readers. Thank you. A minister friend of mine likes to say, "It's often only by looking backward over your shoulder that you can see the providence of God at work in your life." Have you ever felt that? Maybe looking back over a decision made, a road taken or not taken, a hardship endured, a seeming coincidence whose consequences you could not at the time have foreseen. Have you then discerned the hand of God active in your life? Discerned well after the fact that when you thought you were just living your life, or even wandering in the wilderness, taking detour after detour, your feet were actually on an ordered path. You may have thought you were lost or flailing. Afterwards, you thought, "Oh, yes, that's why that happened. That's what God was up to." I wonder if it was like that for Ruth, the young widowed immigrant who'd accompanied her widowed mother-in-law Naomi to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem, driven by love alone. Because surely it didn't make sense on a practical level. For Ruth found herself in an unfamiliar country, alone, but for that older woman who seemed to be known in her community but was not especially welcomed. They weren't overwhelmed, these two widows, by invitations to supper or casseroles left on their doorstep. Was it because Naomi had returned with a Moabite daughter-in-law, a mistrusted foreigner? Was it because Naomi proclaimed her bitterness, her fear that God had abandoned her, and so people wanted to keep their distance, lest her accursedness, her bad luck, rub off on them? Whatever the reason, these two women were on their own. But Ruth was young and intrepid. "Let me go gleaning," she said to Naomi. Now, did Ruth know of the custom among these, to her, foreign Jews? Gleaning was a common practice in ancient Israel, a form of charitable giving mandated by the Holy Scriptures. When you reap the harvest of your land, the book of Leviticus prescribes, You shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. And from Deuteronomy, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. Imagine that. Imagine living in a culture where people weren't determined to scarf up every last morsel of food, of money, of justice, of love for themselves, but took what they needed and left the rest for those who needed it more. Imagine the blessings that would bring. But anyway, in biblical times, recognized groups among the poor, like widows, orphans, and immigrants, could walk behind the harvesters and gather up what had been missed or left behind. You could see it as an early form of welfare, or rather workfare, for gleaning was hard work, no doubt about it. It was justice as much as charity, a chance for the disadvantaged to work for their daily bread. And that's what Ruth did. But as it happened, she chanced upon a field owned by a relative by marriage of Naomi's. As it happened. Coincidence or providence? And this relative, Boaz, is a righteous man. Righteous in the way of Scripture. God-fearing. Compassionate. Just. We learn something about him even from the way he greets his workers. The Lord be with you. They respond, the Lord bless you. And though I don't want to get too far ahead of our story, Boaz will be blessed. The hand of God is already at work through Ruth's happening into one of Boaz's fields. In a customary greeting, such small things. And right away, Boaz gets a good report about Ruth. He learns not only who she is, but how humbly she has approached, how tirelessly she has worked. And Boaz had clearly already heard about Ruth, Bethlehem being a pretty small town after all. And if the neighbors haven't yet exactly rallied around Ruth and Naomi, they've been gracious enough in their gossip about them. Is it that favorable gossip that makes Boaz take special notice of Ruth? Is it his own essential goodness? Is it his admiration for Ruth's hard work? Her kinship to his dead relative's wife? Is it physical attraction? Perhaps a little of each. That's the way God often works in our lives, isn't it? Through a bit of gossip, a word of kindness, the glimpse of a face, and in it, the glimpse of a future. Whatever Boaz's motivations, and human motivations are always complicated, he goes above and beyond the law of Torah, or perhaps better, he fulfills not only the letter, but the spirit of the law. He shows great chesed, great loving kindness to Ruth. His care for her is complete. He doesn't just let her glean, he gives her sanctuary. This young, widowed immigrant, after all, is a person at risk. You know, recently the Me Too movement has brought attention to the dangers women migrant farm workers face in our nation today, where an estimated 500,000 women labor in U.S. fields. On many farms, women farm workers, many of them immigrants or minority members. They describe coercion, catcalls, groping, and assault from crew leaders, supervisors, and fellow workers. They describe this as the daily bread of their work in the fields. One study found that 4 out of 5 female farm workers experienced sexual violence at work. Surely it was no better in Ruth's time. To this solitary woman working among men in the fields, this foreigner alone among strangers, Boaz offers protection, making sure she stays with other women, telling his male workers to respect her. He offers her food. He sees that she has water to drink. Small things, maybe. But through such small acts of kindness and justice does the kingdom of God come near. And Boaz does more. For though he is a righteous man, a generous man, when Ruth thanks him for his kindness and generosity, he turns the tables. He praises her kindness, her generosity. He gives from the goodness of his heart, yes, but also because it is expected. He may go the extra mile, but he recognizes that she has done more than that, left her homeland and ventured out among strangers for the sake of Naomi, for the love of Naomi. And Boaz offers a blessing. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge, which she did, this refugee, when she proclaimed to Naomi, "Your God shall be my God." We have 2 more weeks with the book of Ruth, but spoiler alert, it ends happily. And when it does, when the action of the story is over, it's not hard to imagine that this moment of encountering Boaz is one that Ruth remembers and thinks, "Oh, yes, that's why that happened. That's what God was up to." But before that, still here in chapter 2, there is Naomi. Naomi, who doesn't need to wait to look back. Naomi, who sees Ruth struggle home with about an ephah, that is, with nearly 30 pounds of barley, who presses her for her story, who says, "Boaz, he's a relative," who says, "Blessed be he by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Earlier, Naomi had thought the hand of God had turned against her and left her empty. Now, in the abundance of Ruth's gleanings, in the righteous loving kindness of Boaz, Naomi begins to see the loving kindness of God at work in their lives. Oftentimes, it's only by looking backward over our shoulders that we see God's providence at work. Sometimes we're too preoccupied, too fearful, too worried, too overwhelmed to glimpse it at the time. Remember that even Naomi saw only curse, not blessing, even though Ruth stood steadfastly by her side. But sometimes, in a moment, in the smallest action, we can see clearly, as Naomi does now. We can see God at work. You've heard that phrase, "God is in the details." Here, God is in the gleanings, the leavings, the leftovers. Small leftover grains of wheat and barley, gathered so painstakingly by Ruth out of love for Naomi, multiplied by the actions of Boaz and his workers. Small acts of kindness, accompanying a friend, sharing a meal, offering protection, that show the very hand of God at work. And so for Naomi and Ruth, hope returns, grain by tiny grain. Sometimes we feel alone, empty, fearful, bereft. Then someone says, I will be with you. Someone says, come, rest. Someone says, eat this bread and dip your morsel in the wine. Take, eat. In our daily lives, at the bountiful table of our Lord, in a phone call or a text or a cup of tea, in a helping hand stretched out, of such small grains, hope is born.